So for this interview, I have here with me my mom, and I'll be talking to her about the educational journey and how she felt the pandemic affected that whole process.
So my name's Alicia Silvino Treviño. I have been a bilingual educator for 27 years. I am now a dyslexia therapist, a reading specialist. I coordinate our RTI, which is our response to intervention. I also provide teachers with activities to address students' needs, and I support my administration by processing paperwork such as our dyslexia paperwork and speech referrals, as well as special ed referrals.
Well, seeing how that's a very packed schedule, I would imagine that you have a lot of experience, like you said, in this business and institution. And the main thing I want to get at is how you felt this pandemic affected that process. So starting off, back when we first learned that our schools would be closing down and we would be out of school, how did teachers take that news?
I think back in spring break, that's when it actually happened 2 years ago. And it was a Monday when we were going to be ready to go back to school. And unfortunately, the news started to advise us that schools were going to be closed. And in the beginning, it seemed to be okay because we thought we had an extra week of spring break. But in the long run, we realized that it was actually a pandemic that was causing so many deaths and so much destruction in the world. So it took us by surprise.
Would you say that after learning the true size of the situation, that there was a time period in which education became kind of a second concern in most people's mind?
I think for parents, even as a teacher and a parent myself, education was the last thing on my mind. But we knew we had to keep on going as teachers, and we still had to provide services for our students, especially my school. My school is a Title I school, so we have a lot of children who are economically disadvantaged, which means that we're their source of breakfast, their source of lunch and snacks. So not only that, we're their source of knowledge because a lot of the parents work or many parents don't speak the language. They can't support their children. So it really affected our students.
So seeing as how you were, like you said, a Title I school, because of that language barrier and financial barrier, do you think your kids were impacted in a greater sense than perhaps better off schools like on the north side of San Antonio?
Yes, our kids were at a major disadvantage. If I would compare my students in South San Antonio ISD at Benavides to, let's say, Tejeda Middle School or Bulverde Creek, those students alone have the internet or the capacity for their computers to run programs and apps, or their parents have the background knowledge to support their kids at home, while my students don't have but maybe one computer or no computers at home. They probably only had their cell phones. A lot of parents said that they only had a cell phone with internet, and most students actually had to go to hotspots and pick up Chromebooks from our campuses. So they didn't even possess, they didn't have in their homes any type of technology that would help them support them through this critical time.
Speaking of being online and an online presence, how would you say teachers felt about this sudden switch from in-person to a completely virtual classroom?
Well, personally, it was a very difficult change because just the simple lack of that interaction with our students. You know, I wasn't there to speak to them face-to-face. You know, the proximity where we find each other or we have a confidence in each other and build a relationship so that teaching can become enjoyable. That distance that the internet provided us wasn't helpful at all. And the fact that there were so many glitches, you know, it made teaching very non-personal. Because teaching has to have build a relationship with my students so that teaching could happen. And through online or through the internet, it wasn't happening.
I know that you work with kids ranging from kindergarten to fifth. So would you say that kids who had previously been in school before the pandemic performed better than those who started school during this time?
I don't think they performed better. I just think they knew more about what is expected from them at school. While the pre-K, kinder, and first, they weren't really sure what was going on because they lack experience in school. Our pre-K students really come in not knowing how to sit, social skills, they don't know how to hold a pencil. Our kindergarten students now have become like pre-K students who came into school without knowing how to hold a pencil or write their name. So it really affected our lower grades, our little ones, because they need more supports, you know, in different ways, and basic skills like holding a pencil, writing their name, social skills, you know, sitting down, attention span. So it's affected the lower grades in a different manner.
These social skills that these kids lack, would you say that now they are starting to learn them as we adjust to a in-person setting?
I think right now, towards December, the kids are learning what they were supposed to learn in August, as if we talk about social skills. So they're already lagging socially. And even the upper grades, I could see that the older students are very immature and they just don't have that stamina that they need, like to read a story, to answer questions. They lack a lot of background information.
Other than these hopeful benefits that we see that we hope kids will achieve their social skills, are you happy that we're moving back towards an in-person class, or would you rather stay virtually online for the time being?
We've been back on campus since last year. We started at 10%, then we increased gradually to 20 and 30, and this year we started at 100%. And personally, I prefer to be at a campus with my students face to face, because I know they're going to be there in my classroom. I can use manipulatives, that proximity that we need. You know, I could read the child's face and expressions or needs better than using technology. The other thing is that now the child goes to school all day, and when we were virtual, they had to log in maybe for 5-10 minutes and they were counted present, which really affected their learning skills because they have a lot of academic gaps now. So, yes, I would prefer them to be face-to-face if they're safe, because now they're talking about a second strand. And if this strand is as bad as the first one, again, education takes a second place in life. I'd rather have students safe, all my kids safe, than anything else.
So, talking about them being safe, would you say that you still have in place certain rules, like in schools, that are doing their job in keeping students safe, sanitized?
Yes, we are. Because in the morning, I do, for example, duty at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I make sure that the students enter our building with masks. If they don't have masks, we provide masks. We do temperature checks. We do basically what we can with what we have. So we keep the students 6 inches apart. We try to use dividers on the desks. We try our best, again, with what we have.
So I guess to end off this interview, I just wanted to get your personal opinion on which do you prefer, the virtual setting or the in-person setting? And are there any benefits to either or that you would keep?
I think we could learn something from the virtual learning. A lot of the applications and the programs that are created, like Google Classroom, Seesaw, and others that we use, can be now implemented in class with the students face to face. They can now use something that we didn't do before. They could use their Chromebook in the classroom while we also present online. And at the same time, we can walk around and see our children, keep that distance, make sure we have a connection with our students so that learning can take place. So there was some benefits about the applications and Google Classroom and technology that we used during the pandemic now in the real classroom.
Okay, I think then the most important thing we could hope for is that students slowly adjust back, and we have a hope that we'll catch back up to where we were and create a new normal that we are all comfortable with during these times.
Yeah, I think that people need to be patient, because it's going to take us a while so that students can catch up on their academics. Our children are probably 2 years behind, which means it would take us about another 2 to 3 years to catch them up. So as teachers, we try our best with what we have, and with parent support, we hopefully can reach a middle ground.
Well, thank you for talking with me, and let's just hope for the best for our education.
Yes, we will.